Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reactions to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you're joining me live, if not, thanks for listening to the podcast. I appreciate it. Getting more downloads every week. That's awesome. I continue to be entertaining. If you guys want to join the conversation, come over to reallibertymedia.com. Come in the chat room. We have a chat room live during the show. The chat room is live pretty much 24/7. But if you come in during the show, you can ask questions, chat with me. I see the chat right here in front of me. I don't always pay attention to it, but mostly I do kind of look at it. I hope you guys had a great week. The weather is finally tending toward normal here in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon where I am. We did have a ton of rain this week, which was crazy. We actually finally broke the record for the most amount of rain in the month of April in Oregon, the most ever, well, since they started recording. Which is really crazy because last April we had the least amount of rain ever recorded. So, you know, put that in the tool bag of global warming whatevers, you know, from year to year it varies. I want to tell you guys about some fun stuff going on around the homestead here. I really think this is one of those things that you might just take for yourselves and try this out. I'm not kidding. This is kind of the most entertaining thing I've done in a long time. And I didn't even have that much to do with it at first. I got to make a note here because I want to talk about one more thing. And I didn't write it down or put it in my notes. Okay, so here's the deal. About, 2 weeks ago. Okay. I think I kind of mentioned this before. I kind of mentioned the gel pellet gun. And if I didn't, here's the deal. When the kids moved in to the in-law cottage, which is the other little house on our property, they brought two cats with them, and they're outdoor cats. And, of course, outdoor cats like to catch birds and mice and whatever. But we have a lot of bird feeders and hummingbird feeders out and about. So I wanted to get something so I could shoo the cats out of here without hurting them. So I got this gel pellet gun to chase the cats out with. Now, trust me, this thing cannot hurt you. I mean, it's very low powered and very weak. But the pellets are enough to, and I don't shoot the cats. I shoot behind the cats and kind of get them scooted out of there. So, and it's been working so far, so that's cool. But my wife kind of started talking to, our son, about an airsoft gun. And airsoft guns are made to, like, specifically for, this is going to sound so stupid. And yeah, this would probably get tagged on any of the normal podcasting sites. Hey, before I do that, I want to share something very strange with you all. Because this is something really interesting, I think. If you do a podcast or if you do a stream, if you do any live or recorded shows, when you upload them to certain sites, platforms, when you put the description in, it says, like, you have to rate your podcast, like, if it's okay for, you know, children or teens or adults or whatever. And you know, with all this stupid crap that they've been doing with the kids in grade schools now, no, you know, kindergarten and above, I was thinking, well, how in the hell do you rate your videos or your streams or your podcast now? Because, you know, I mean, what is it you would talk about that that would be inappropriate? I think, thank God, some of us have our own, you know, our own boundaries that we won't cross if we're going to put something up for children. But, you know, when this whole business started about the Don't Say Gay bill, which is a total lie, I know the first podcast after that news, you know, kind of when it became news, when it became a news story, I was like, huh, I wonder why they even have this thing on here anymore. But, you know, it's nice. It is nice. I know once in a while I cuss, but I don't think I say anything horrible. I think it's kind of the, you know, the acceptable FCC words, but I'm not trying to abide by FCC. That's just the way I am. Anyway, back to it. So I just wanted to share that with you because whatever it came up. Oh, yeah, because I was talking about guns and shooting each other and shooting cats. I didn't get to the each other part, but that's what I'm getting at. So these airsoft pellet guns are made for shooting each other. Like, people have these competitions where they, you know, go out in teams or solo and, you know, you try and shoot the other guy before he gets you. And so my wife kind of hooked up with Scott, our son, and got an airsoft AR-15 pellet gun that kind of feels like a real AR-15. Not that I would know. Mine got lost in a boating accident about 10, 15 years ago, but I used to have one, and I remember what it feels like. And, of course, I was in the service. I handled them. And this thing's pretty dang close, man. And as far as, like, realistic looking, it is very realistic looking, except, of course, for the bright orange tip on the end, which tells everybody it's a toy. But that thing is a riot to shoot. So we've been taking it out here and just popping off rounds. And yeah, it has a safety, it has a single shot, and it has full auto, which is just awesome. But it's almost like we don't have enough pellets already. We only have about 10,000 pellets to start off with. So we ordered, I don't know, 40 or 50,000 more. Because when you are on full auto, number one, it just makes you smile and laugh. And number two, you're going through a ton of pellets in no time. So, for entertainment purposes, at least, you should look into either this gel pellet gun. Now, so the gel pellets are so small when you get them, like you, it's hard to see an individual pellet, and you soak them in water for 2 hours. So 1 gallon of water will do 10,000 pellets. And you soak them in water for 2 hours, and then they hydrate to be like the size of a pea, I guess. And they degrade really rapidly. Like if they hit something, they fall apart. It's any animals can eat it. It won't hurt them. And, you know, they're completely biodegradable. So that's kind of cool. But even the pellets in the pellet gun are biodegradable. And they'll last about 2 to 5 days, something like that, on the ground before they dissolve completely. And I was going to say, and they won't hurt animals. But I'm pretty sure if you shot an animal with this pellet gun, it would hurt like hell. Rochelle said something about, you know, if the pellet gun would hurt, like the hurt cat or whatever, and Scott was like, well, I mean, they're made for shooting each other, so, I mean, nobody wants to shoot a cat, right? I mean, I don't want to shoot a cat, but anyway, it's a ton of fun, and we're not going to shoot and kill or maim or hurt any of our animals or any of their animals. It's just to keep them from getting near the birds, you know, and try and keep our wild bird population going here, which has been awesome. I talked about last weekend sitting out for being outside all weekend and seeing all these wonderful wild birds coming through. It's really nice, and it's really nice up here. So we'd like to keep as many of the birds up here as possible. Okay, so the AR-15, I'm telling you, it's not a lot of expense to go out and buy one of these gelet guns or one of these airsoft guns just for entertainment purposes. I'm telling you, it's going to be some of the most fun you could have, and get something that has full auto so you can experience just like letting the pellets fly. It's a riot. Because when you fire your AR-15 on full auto, which of course you can't because that's illegal, and like I said, mine got lost in a boating accident about 10 or 15 years ago. It's expensive because those rounds, can add up pretty quickly. Even if you're loading them yourself, which of course I don't do, but I know people that do. It can get pretty expensive. So anyway, that was a riot. And yeah, just for fun now. I mean, sometimes you just grab one of these two guns. One's more like a pistol, like so you can one hand it, and the other one is a rifle. So you literally, well, you don't have to put two hands on it, but it's a long gun, so you want to support it with both hands, and unless you want to Rambo it a bit. But yeah, man, my wife she started just laughing when she was firing that thing full auto. It just makes you smile. I don't know what it is about it, but it just tickles. At least it tickled me to do it too. It was a lot of fun. Okay, I wanted to talk about, I have lots of stuff to talk about today. I'm not kidding. I couldn't believe how much stuff I've put in my notes to talk about. But what's really weird is when I printed them up, I was like, wait a minute, there's more than this. And no, there's not. It's just a few pages. But some of the stories, I just have a few short notes about, so I'm not going to go into huge detail. But I mean, it's stuff that I think is important. I'm going to give you like my experience this weekend. Okay, so for whatever reason, I decided I was going to go get a dual sport motorcycle. I have the Harley 883. I ride it to work and back, you know, when the weather's really nice, but it's really a street bike. I mean, street enough. Mostly street, I should say, and I have about a mile of gravel driveway before I get to the asphalt. So I was thinking, you know what, I'm just going to go get a dirt bike. That'd be kind of fun, and you know, it'd be better for riding on this gravel, and the Harley wouldn't kick up so much rocks, and you know, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just wanted to go get like a they call it a dual sport, if it'll go off-road and it's street legal. So a dual sport bike. So anyway, I look online, you know, look up a few dealers, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go check some of these bikes out. I read some reviews, listened to a few guys who know way more than me, and, you know, I came to the conclusion I was interested in a couple certain bikes. Well, you know, contacted one dealership in Salem because I was going to have to go to Salem anyway. And, so arranged to meet him today, right? So I go down there, and, I mean, the shop, it's a giant shop, a big showroom, lots of bikes in there. And I told him which bikes I was interested in. He goes, yeah, we only have two of those, and they're both sold. And I was like, oh? And he goes, yeah, we got them yesterday. And I was like, wait a minute. I said, are you guys having the same kind of problems that like the, you know, auto dealerships are having? And he said, well, he says, sort of. I mean, it's not so much a chip thing, but number one, I mean, gas prices are high and going up. Even some of the people working in my clinic have been talking about getting a motorcycle or a motor scooter so they could ride to work and back just to save money on fuel. And I get it, man. When it's up around $5 a gallon, when you're not used to paying out that much money, it's a shock to fill your tank. You know, you have kind of a nice car. You know, you might, you know, not have a lot of extra money. And when you're putting all that extra money in your tank, you know, life starts to suck because you don't have money for all the other fun stuff you might have planned to do or, you know. So, yeah, so people are just like buying them up like crazy. I even went online and looked up some of the other local dealerships, and sure enough, if you look closely, they show like they have bikes, but then they'll have like in the notes, it'll be like in transit or, you know, not available or whatever. So, I don't know, if you're thinking about getting a motorcycle, you might want to start shopping now. I mean, it's really just getting to be riding season here, like my riding season, because I don't ride when it's totally crappy. I wait for it to get just a little bit more fair, let's say. I don't mind riding in the rain. I don't mind riding if it's kind of cool, like 40-ish. But if it's like crappy or freezing or the road still freezes up here, you know, I don't want to take the Harley on the frozen asphalt. I'd take the dirt bike on it, though, because, I mean, I used to do that. But, I mean, I don't want to risk falling down, really. It would be too easy to break something, for sure. Hang on a sec. Man, I have a 24-ounce sweet tea next to me. I have my iced tonic water with honey grapefruit tea. And I have a medicine ball, the hot one right here, to keep me, you know, refreshed and hydrated. So, the motorcycle thing was really kind of an eye-opening experience, because, like, no matter how much money you have, you're not getting a bike. Oh, I'll tell you this. This is kind of interesting. Okay. So they had a bunch of bikes that you would consider, like, not that bikes have a lot of technology associated with them, but they had a lot of bikes that were, let's say, fuel injected and electronic ignition, you know, and push button start instead of kick start. And I know the whole argument about EMPs and, you know, all those weapons and solar flares that can wipe out the electron. I know all that. That's why I have the farm truck. But all of those bikes were the ones that were, like, you couldn't buy them because they were already sold. And they did tell me I could leave a $500, you know, whatever you call it, and they would, you know, that would put me on the list so that if a bike came in, they would call me so I could, you know, purchase that bike. And I was just thinking, I don't know, I was looking at their shipping times. They're not going to get another they're not going to get until the next one's coming in July. I mean, hell, the season's half over with here in Oregon by July. Yeah, August, September, October. Yeah, it's about. And I'm not that, like, I'm not drastically wanting a dual sport or a dirt bike or whatever. It's just an idea. It was like, you know, I love these bikes. It'd be fun to ride. I'm getting old enough that pretty soon I'm not going to be doing that anymore. So, you know, I thought I'd go look. Well, no, that's not going to happen. Oh, but they had a couple. Now, I'm not slamming this motorcycle company at all. In fact, there's kind of a good argument why they had these bikes. They had a couple Suzukis, all right? They had a 400 and a 650, I think. I wasn't really interested, so I didn't pay that close of attention. But here is the deal. Like, these two bikes have been there a while, and the reason they're there is because Suzuki hasn't really gone to fuel injection, electronic ignition, and they did have push button start. But, you know, it's like, and they were pretty reasonably priced, but and they're carbureted. But they're carbureted. And I know, I mean, so we all used to have carburetors, right? And I get it, you know, it's not really a huge issue. They make them very reliable, you know, you don't have to mess with them much, but you might have to mess with them a little bit. So let's say something happened and I decide I'm going to take a motorcycle trip up over the Cascades and go into the high desert in eastern Oregon. Well, I'd probably have to tune the bike kind of on the way, or once I got up over the altitude, the mountains there, I'd probably have to tune it or kind of adjust the carburetor a little bit. And then when I came back down, I'd have to do the same thing. And, you know, if the bike sits for a couple months or whatever, you have to drain the fuel out of the carb and, you know, all that stuff. But you got to treat your gas anyway. I get that. But anyway, it was just like, I don't know, man. I really don't want that bike. You know, if I'm gonna spend the money, I want the electronics. I want the new technology. You know, just because it's easier and simpler, and actually they were kind of inexpensive also. But so I guess I should say, you probably could find a bike. It just might not be the bike you want. Like the ones that are really popular are going like crazy. And then, you know, I can only attribute it to old technology. Like everybody hears, oh, that's carbureted, no thanks. Which is so stupid because so many of us grew up with carburetors, for crying out loud. So, anyway, what else was on? Oh, and a tiller. So, Rochelle and I decided we're going to buy a walk-behind tiller. We did some research, and we decided on one that's pretty highly rated. I think it was the highest or second highest rated tiller. It's really weird because it's not a name like I would recognize. It's called an Earthquake. Pioneer is the model, and it's pretty impressive. So it's another thing that we went down to get in Salem, and guess what? Couldn't get it. They didn't have any. We had to order that online. It's going to come in a week or two, hopefully, you know, barring any disasters, who knows. But, you know, so two strikeouts there, the tiller and the motorcycle. But the reason we decided to get the walk-behind tiller is because we want to till between the rows of the garden. And in the past, we had, you know, a much smaller, like a Mantis, which worked really good. That freaking machine would start every year, no matter what. And then we have a smaller tiller for a small, like, lawnmower. But, like right now, it needs a little bit of work. So, you know, you can't just, like, you know, go down there and start tilling. And, you know, it's a lawnmower, so, you know, it makes big tracks and it flattens out your rows and all that other stuff. So we decided we're going to get a walk-behind tiller, and we picked out the one and we ordered it last night when we got back from Salem because we couldn't pick it up in Salem, even though Home Depot actually carries them and said they had one. They didn't really have one, which that happens. We actually just went to Salem anyway. We went to Costco. You know, even Costco. Now, remember, we're buying for, seven people, because we all split the groceries. I mean, we're all here. We all eat one meal. You know, we just kind of gather up at dinner time or lunch or breakfast, whatever, and, you know, have a meal together. So I'm going to tell you how much it costs, but don't freak out because it's for seven people, right? Not that you guys would freak out anyway, but in the past, it seemed like we would go, and I don't mean 10 years ago, I mean like last year or the year before, we'd go to Costco and we'd get a pretty big load of groceries and it'd be like $300-$400. Well, you know, $700 at Costco for pretty much the same, I mean, it's the same stuff. We have kind of the same stuff we get from Costco every time. I don't know if you guys do that. But, I have my favorite stuff that I get from Costco. And that's going to be like a month's worth of food. It's a month worth of supplies, let's say. It's not a month. I mean, we buy meat fresher, or we buy, a beef or a pig from local butchers and stuff. So that's where our meat comes from mostly. But, man, that was a shock. It wasn't so much a shock to me. You know what's happened? This is kind of strange. So my wife does the shopping like all the time. At least that's what I thought. But actually, she's not doing it so much anymore since Sheck and Crystal and the grandkids moved in. They actually do, one or both of them do the shopping because they're going to town anyway. So Rochelle really hasn't been out to see how drastically things have been affected, how much higher prices have gotten in just the last few months. You know what? And I wish I would have copied this link. But right before when I'm doing my show prep, I kind of review some emails to make sure there's nothing new, sudden breaking news that everybody might want to be, a part of, or something that I'm about to talk about that has changed and I want to make sure I'm updated on it. And I saw this story about how the U.S. needs to send more food overseas since Ukraine and Russia are not going to be producing this much. And I was thinking, hold on. We're already talking about shortages here in this country. And I think it's awesome that the United States is generous. That's one thing I think that we've done right in our existence is been generous. Now, actually, I don't even know if that's true. We probably take something from the people we send food to. I'm pretty sure that's the way that would work. But it's kind of awesome that we provide food in some form to third world countries, for example, where people are actually starving to death, where there's, actual, food deserts, like literally deserts. But when it comes to, saving your own butt, you got to start thinking of not sending food, all over the world. I mean, if it's going to hurt here, it's going to hurt everywhere. And, that's kind of going back to, hey, are we producing food at an artificial quantity and rate? Which, yes, absolutely we are. And then, so the second part of that equation is, well then, are people living who would otherwise not be able to live? And the answer to that question is yes. And unfortunately, probably there's going to be a little bit of a balancing coming this next year or two, depending on just how bad it gets. But I mean, everything I see makes it look pretty horrible. Oh, great. I was reading chat. But I mean, week after week, I come in with stories about either water shortages, fuel increases, fertilizer shortage. Wait, did I see that? No, water, fertilizer shortage, or now we have like this whole avian flu thing, which I really want to get into, but it's kind of for the last part of the show here. But there's not any good news coming back. Like, oh, we're going to, somehow turn this ship around and everything's going to be fine. I don't hear any talk like that whatsoever, like none. And as everybody knows, it's midterm elections, you know, and everybody's going to do everything they can to make things sound and look good, but it ain't happening. There's no good news out there. As a matter of fact, California just said that they are restricting... Oh, I got a cough. Hang on. All right, hang on. Yeah, California just said that their water rationing now, like right now, is you can water once a week your home. So your lawn, your landscaping, your whatever, you can water once a week, but they think they're actually gonna have tighter restrictions because there's no water. There's no water. Now, of course, they're probably trying to preserve some water for some crops, but it's just not available. What's really crazy is the systems that have been affecting Oregon have been kind of sweeping up just off the coast of California and up into Oregon. So California hasn't got a lot of the rain that we've received like this month. Like I said, you know, is the highest amount of rain on record for April in Oregon. And but that doesn't help. It would help California if some of that water would have, with some of that rain would have fallen down in the Klamath Basin. So, anyway, so what my point is, you know, we're not going to be able to send as much food to these other countries. There's just not going to be as much food. Every indication is that every single step of the way, there's less and less food from the time it's being planted to the time it will be harvested this year is less and less food. So, you know, do what you can. Oh, which reminds me, by the way, the Farmer's Almanac, which I know isn't correct all the time. As a matter of fact, less than 50% they're correct with their weather predictions. But they happen to have an article on the Three Sisters Garden, so I'm going to link that in the show notes. I've talked about it a few times. I talk about it every year. But I'll put the link to the... Farmer's Almanac, Three Sisters Garden in there. It's got some great information in it. And it's very apropos right now. I mean, you're not going to feed yourself for a year on a couple corn stalks with squash and beans, but you're going to have some food. And it really isn't that hard to put one of these little gardens together. So I'm going to put that in the show notes. You know what? This is so funny. It's funny that I had cataract surgery. I can see really well now, but sometimes I still like to put my glasses on, and they're not even close to me. They're across the room in my coat pocket. But we'll do it without. So let's see. Oh, so here's a couple quick hit things we're going to do, maybe. Yeah, this is one. So the federal government is thinking about making menthol cigarettes illegal. They're going to ban menthol cigarettes. And, you know, I just caught quickly, like, how many people who smoke menthol cigarettes are minority versus white. And it's significant. It's like 60 or 70% of people who smoke menthols are black. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you think about all of the talk of equality, you know, and not picking on any certain race, but this seems pretty damn racist to me. You know, it's like prohibition. I mean, it is prohibition. All that happens whenever the federal government bans one of these things that some of us love consuming is then it goes on the black market, and then we got to go, you know, by definition, become criminals to buy those things. What's really kind of like ironic to me, or hypocrisy to me, is We're doing everything we can right now across the country to make pot legal in any form, you know, smoke, eat, vape, whatever. And then we're taking down tobacco. Now, I guess there could be some argument made that, you know, cannabis has some medicinal values, which it does. I'm 100% sure. And tobacco doesn't, but, I mean, tobacco's been around a long time. People have used it for a lot of things. Hell, I remember somebody used to, I don't know if this was in my childhood. I kind of remember that like, they would chew tobacco leaves and then, like, tobacco spit on something to heal it. Oh, God, I wish I would have thought about that before I actually went live. But, yeah, it's like, you know, chewing tobacco back in the day when it was actually cured leaves. I guess they still have something like that. Yeah, does have medicinal properties. I was pretty sure it did. But I can't remember exactly what, like it was for healing a wound, like a bullet wound or toothache or what. But it seems to me, I just remember that it had medicinal properties, you know, and back in the day. I mean, and so far, like we've gotten so far away from the medicinal properties of natural things. You know, we looking at this, I said last week, and it still is driving me crazy. Every single day I'm hearing about all these treatments for COVID that they're trying to get approved for younger and younger people, children. And I'm like, come on, stop it. There's plenty of other things that we can use to keep people alive. And those things are mostly very natural, and that's what we should be using. Or even the bit more basic meds like ivermectin. It's said both ways. So whenever I say it, I kind of like to cover both ways because I think one way is like one of those pronunciations with the N is for one with the N and the other is without the N. And it's like for animals or for people. And I can't remember which is which. And it doesn't matter. It's the same drug. Just different dosages. But yeah, we've gotten so far away from, you know, the medicinal uses of natural things. And a lot of people still have great knowledge about, you know, natural remedies. And we should be using more and more of those things instead of putting these poisons in our body. I remember when I was in dental school and they said, really, pharmaceuticals, every single pharmaceutical we use in medicine is a poison. We're just taking advantage of a certain amount of that poison. We're just like maximizing the good we can get from a certain property of the poison of whatever, you know, drug we're using. But holy cow, we're getting to the point now where, you know, the poison is killing the patients because, you know, we're using stupid stuff, like ridiculous, not solutions, because if there's a 50% chance it's going to kill you or higher, that's not a really good solution to me. I think I'd take my chances with, you know, not doing the medication. But anyway, I thought it was really crazy that, you know, the Dems are in charge, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. The Democrats are in charge right now. They're making all the rules, and they're the ones who are going to beat up on the black population again by taking away their menthol cigarettes. I mean, it just seems like what it seems like to me right now is that the current administration and all the little minions are just like, yeah, let's just, you know, we've come this far. Let's just go for it all. Oh, I did not talk about the Ministry of Truth. Oh, my God. Yeah, I was probably going to wait on that because that's the... I can't think of a worse freaking entity to put together a Ministry of Truth than any government. The absolute worst flipping idea ever. Oh, my God. Yeah, I wasn't really prepared to talk about it. So actually, I ought to get to the stuff that I really wanted to get to. So let's see if I can do this without making a bunch of noise with my mic. Okay, one thing. Wait, did I get my quit hit? Oh, no. One other thing I wanted to talk about was Twitter. And this is what I wanted to talk about. Twitter is okay if it's becoming a private company now. But even, well, let's just go back two weeks ago. So, and I didn't research this either, but there must be something in place that keeps Twitter from being sued. Is that right? Does anybody know that? There's got to be some kind of exemption that Twitter can't be sued for causing harm to people. Even though that's one of the arguments they use to censor the truth, is that, you know, well, we don't want certain information coming out because we don't want people to get harmed. But here's the problem that I see in the future, and I don't know if this is going to, you know, once it becomes a private entity, I don't know if this is going to be something that comes up. But for all of the information that people, now I'm not talking about most of the people who listen to me, because most of the people that listen to me educated me along the way during the whole COVID thing, and they were already aware of a lot of health things that would help keep you from getting sick and dying. Like, number one, don't go to the hospital if you do get sick, because they'll kill you, and they did that. But, you know, there was so much information that was censored that people could have used, like, and I mean real information, you know, science with studies and statistics and results and conclusions that actually were based on real science, not the religion of science. And, you know, I mean, Twitter is just one of the entities that should be held accountable for actually preventing real information from getting out. And think of the people that were harmed. I have a story that will be linked in the show notes about, let me see who this is. Okay, so this was a OBGYN doc. And he says he sees between 6,000 and 7,000 high-risk pregnant patients a year and has seen many complications among them due to the COVID vaccines. I've seen many, many, many complications in pregnant women, in moms, and in fetuses, in children, offspring, Thorpe said, fetal death, miscarriage, death of the fetus inside the mom. So, you know, one of my points was about the whole vaccine. Yeah, they're getting us coming and going. They're getting the youngest of the young, the unborn, and they're getting the geriatric age patients that have, you know, comorbidities, one of which is being older than 75, 80 years old. Because remember, I mean, really, most people between, you know, most people under 82 years old wouldn't die from COVID unless, you know, they get to go to the hospital where they kind of sped up and put the odds in favor of you dying when you went to the hospital of COVID. So most everybody else really didn't need vaccines. Most everybody else didn't really, actually nobody needed this vaccine. Because it's not a vaccine at all. And I wonder if that language is going to be allowed on Twitter. I mean, I'm not going to go test it out. There's plenty of people who were on Twitter and will, I'm sure, bring that stuff up. But it's going to be eye-opening for sure. And I was just thinking, along with that information, these people who use Twitter and didn't get that information, when they start seeing it now, because I'm sure not everybody is going to leave Twitter. It's only the real kind of crazy leftists that are going to leave because, you know, they can't take a little bit of, you know, pushback. It's much easier to stand on a pedestal and preach your message when nobody asks you any questions. And that's what Twitter has been, really, for the past 2 years. But I think somebody should be held accountable eventually, because there was information available that people couldn't get on the biggest platform, the biggest social media platform, the city square, the town square, they call it. And, you know, people couldn't make good decisions. Part of that problem is because, you know, they were public school educated and didn't bother to actually put into practice some of the things that they were being taught, like how to question things and how to research on their own. You know, I'm not saying public schools make you stupid, but they do. I mean, it's not that I want to offend anybody. It's just that, oh my God, like in Oregon, there's actually a law in Oregon that you do not need to know how to read, write, or do arithmetic to graduate high school. How freaking horrible is that? You don't need any of those three simple skills. Like you would think you would need to, you would think by the time you're about 10, you would probably need those three skills just to kind of get along a little better in life. Like somebody tells you they're going to pay you, hey, I'm going to pay you $5 an hour and you work for them 8 hours. And at the end of the day, they pay you $25 and you're happy about it. This happened with my grandson. You can listen to that episode in the archives. Yeah, he told me after working for, you know, after working for somebody else for, I don't know, a couple weeks. And he was like, oh yeah, he pays me $5 an hour. And at the end of the day, yeah, I said, oh, how many hours did you work? You know, and he goes, I work 8 hours. I was like, and how much did he pay? And he was like, $25. And I was like, okay, good. That's good. When you learn to do some math, you'll figure that one out. But anyway, how did I get off on that? Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Oh yeah, the Twitter thing. Yeah, I think people are going to be pissed. You know, they're going to learn some stuff now that a lot of people already knew. A lot of people 2 years ago knew. Yeah, I know. Elon's all up in bed with the World Economic Forum. That's worrisome. I don't know how that whole thing is actually going to work out, because you say that you want a free speech platform, and I talked about this on the last show too. It's virtually impossible unless you ignore all of the laws of all of the countries, which is something that has come up in the last few days. Elon said, you know, well, not free speech, but free speech within the law. And if the people didn't want that kind of free speech, they would pass new laws. That's something like what he said. The problem is, you know, in China, they have different laws. In probably Iran, Iraq, you know, different countries are going to have different laws. They're not going to allow a certain amount of, okay, well, then, you know, how much free speech do you have? Like, I think you should have really free speech and everybody be able to express their own opinions, and we communicate across the world. Oh, God. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but when I was talking about this earlier and I said, okay, Truth Social is probably going to suck for a while, and it probably sucks now. I wouldn't know, because I think you have to have an Apple phone to get on it, which is kind of weird, because I'm sure Apple is not the most popular phone or operating system on a phone out there, but for whatever reason, the brainiacs who figured this out thought they'd launch it with Apple first. Yeah, right. Okay, but my point would be, if it is truly free speech platform, I would much rather be on it than on Twitter, because, you know, maybe it's going to come about it from a different perspective. Maybe it's not going to go into every country. Maybe it's just going to be a U.S. thing where we actually have free speech, supposedly guaranteed in the Constitution. That would be a better place to hang out, personally, for me. So I don't know how Twitter is going to actually work, but it'll be interesting to see if it does. I'm actually kind of happy that more voices from different perspectives are going to get on there. And really, nobody's going to miss the whining criers that are leaving because, you know, they said the same thing for years and, you know, it hasn't really enlightened anybody. It didn't stimulate any kind of conversation or contrary reactions because they just eliminated them if they did. Oh, God, yeah. There's no way. That's why I do a show 2 days a week now. Okay, so this is kind of crazy, but you notice, like, since the whole COVID thing started, that the Food and Drug Administration actually just became the Drug Administration? Yeah, I got to wet my whistle with something here. Like, literally, all of the things that the food part of the Food and Drug Administration should be involved in, they're not involved in at all. You know, should they be figuring out what, how and where we're going to get more fertilizer or how we're going to, you know, produce more food from what we have? Or are they going to, you know, maybe they should speed up or break whatever, you know, interference there is in the supply chain. Maybe they should be working on that stuff, but they actually are completely ignoring the whole food thing. As a matter of fact, some of them have even said, you know, well, it's, you know, we have these blips once in a while, you know, it's going to be transitory. It's going to be transitory, right? Oh, so the Food and Drug Administration really isn't doing anything for us as far as food production goes. And I really believe it's just another step in this whole, Rob, what did you call it? The death protocol? Yeah, I think it's just another kind of, I just think it's another step in that whole death protocol thing. Now, I don't know how much, like, Russia invading Ukraine actually had to do with anything. I really, in my opinion, I think that that would have had very little effect on the United States at all if we hadn't restricted all the, you know, gas and oil, crude oil production that we were doing 2-3 years ago. If all of that would have stayed in place, it would have been like, oh, okay, those silly boys are fighting over there. Let's, you know, do what we can to help the rest of the world. But no, we've, you know, kind of purposefully, I think the administration has made this a much bigger deal by just not reacting to it. Let me read some of these notes, maybe. It says they're so obsessed with drugs, they've abandoned their food obligation to the United States. This was a guy on Tucker Carlson. And the nation's food supply becomes imperiled by those actions. So whatever is happening here, there's negligence. And I said the Food and Drug Administration has been so obsessed with this COVID pandemic that they are ignoring the food for the U.S. and the rest of the world. If you think this is just an oversight on their part, you have not been paying attention. The lockdowns, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, stay in your house, curfews in some cities, don't go shopping, no shopping unless you are masks and keep your distance, social distancing, keeping your kids and grandkids from seeing you and you from seeing others. No socializing. This virus is so deadly. Everyone is dying from this virus. We have to warp speed and deliver shots in arms. No safety checks needed. If you don't vax, you don't work. Parents being arrested, kids being taken from their parents for not following orders. Businesses being put into the position to act as the social police No mask, not only no service, but we will punish you in whatever way we can. That's what the Food and Drug Administration has been doing for the last 2 years. I mean, even preventing us right there from entering places, establishments that serve food, they just cut that completely off. And a lot of those businesses just aren't coming back. Not that that's where you get the food that you actually rely on. You know, mostly, I mean, I go out to eat to, you know, almost as a form of entertainment and relaxation to have somebody else cook. Man, of course, we haven't done that for years. It's about time we do. You know, this is funny. So in the chat, I noticed somebody said, isn't that up to Bill Gates now, the food thing? And isn't he the biggest farm land owner in the U.S.? And I'm not 100% sure. I guess this is the way I look at it. As an individual, he owns the most land, but it's not the most farmland in the United States. He's just the single biggest owner of, so he, as an individual, he has more land than any other individual, but it's not like 90% of the available farmland in the United States or anything like that. Anyway, the Queen owns more land over the, oh, that's kind of cool. Wow, the time. Jesus. Time just flies by. Yeah, avian flu is going to wait till next time. But I think this is really interesting. And so many of you guys who listen to me regularly are not going to be surprised by this at all when it actually comes out. No, I'm not going to add a half hour. I bore you guys with this much time. I don't think I do. It's fun for me. Well, I like to kind of stick to the guidelines, you know, so here we go. Thank you guys for listening. Catch me Wednesday and Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern here on Real Liberty Media, and or catch me on the podcast wherever you get podcasts. And if I'm not there, let me know, and I will try and get the show there, unless I hate the platform. All right, see you guys on Wednesday. Thanks. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.